You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The king, the exec, Tony Sincotta, myself. Corey, you're all pumped up now.
Yeah, I feel good, you know what I'm saying? Getting ready to go into this last hour, do a little bit of name that player. I know we normally I have a question. I know we would normally like do this on like a like in an email after the show or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like today is the last day of February.
Yes.
Black History Month.
Yes, sir.
And I feel like I want to do like a profile of somebody, you know what I mean? Like a player profile or something of, you know, a black athlete.
Why don't you do that in any of the previous 28 days?
he ran out of time. He was thinking about it.
I was so busy, you know what I'm saying? And now I get down to the last hour of the show, and I need to, before the show is over, I need to do a profile on somebody.
Frank Robinson.
That's a good one. Maybe I'll do a profile on Frank Robinson. No, Tony?
I think you should go like someone that hasn't been done. Like, people give him a lot of respect, right?
Yeah.
How about
Shaq?
JaVale McGee?
No, not JaVale McGee.
I pick Frank because of like baseball season.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is basketball season though, Scott.
That's true. That's a very good point.
It's actually more basketball season than baseball.
It's true. I just were talking so much fantasy baseball.
Maybe like
Sweetwater Clifton.
Who the hell is? Oh, that's the old guy from the Knicks.
Yeah, I think he was like maybe the first African American on the Knicks.
I don't know.
Yeah, one of the first African American players. Period.
I think we have to do
play
this
for the Globetrotters
next
too.
Hour.
This is the last hour we got.
This is the last hour we got. Almost to the end. You know what I'm saying?
You can do it old school. You got another hour there.
Yeah, that's true. I might be able to do that too, but I don't know. Calvin Johnson. No?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
I do a player profile on Calvin Johnson.
You know, the race. It's so funny. I was thinking about racism in sports. Like, it is so non-existent. Like, when you're a kid growing up, you want to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Like,
LeBron James.
I grew up in Boston, and there wasn't probably as a perceived city that racism was probably the highest in Boston. The whole Larry Bird thing, really, and the Boston Celtics we were there, but. Everybody wanted to be, and even in Boston, nobody hated Magic Johnson. Nobody hated Magic. Like, he was like the most respected opponent that I could think of anyone.
They hated Kareem, though, right?
Oh yeah, because he was sort of like, you know, aloof.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, and people don't like people that are different. And it's amazing though what sports has done as far as racism when the game's played, and you're still a kid and you're growing up. You don't see black and white; you just see great players.
Yeah.
I think that is the case a lot of times with sports. I agree with that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is.
That's why we love sports.
That's a good thing.
Geno Smith?
What about Geno? You want to do a profile on Geno?
I do a profile on Geno Smith.
That'd be the shortest Black History moment on any platform. Unless you want to cover interceptions.
Hey, I mean, you know what? You say that and you joke about that. Dude, what's a college second round pick? I mean... I don't know his background.
You
like,
could spit anything positive.
He's a successful guy, honestly speaking, though.
Made a lot more money than you have.
Yeah. He's a successful guy.
He's a pro athlete.
Okay, so you're killing him, and he's made a lot more money than you have, or all of us have, really.
Yeah, put together.
So there you go.
Put together.
That doesn't make him a good NFL quarterback, though.
He'd love to be back. I'd love to be backup quarterback, too. Doesn't mean what, Scott?
That doesn't mean it's... Doesn't
so
mean
it should be profiled for Black History Month?
No, I'm just saying, you know, there are probably a lot better subjects out there.
Well, I think that's up for debate, I'd say, personally. You should do Michael Vick.
Oh, that's a good one.
I watched a Football Life on Michael Vick. It was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Michael Vick, you have to put so much into it. That might be a lot to do before the show.
It might take up the hour.
Yeah, I know, right?
What about Allen Iverson?
That's another big. That's another good one right there.
That's long.
But that's long too. You know what I'm saying?
It's too long.
I'm gonna throw something out here.
Oh, let's do the Upton brothers.
I'm gonna throw something out here. Okay.
Prince David Wright.
I'm going to throw something. This may sound strange.
Oh, boy.
But this is with all due respect and a lot of love. A lot of love. All due respect and a lot of love. profile yourself.
I just can't do myself, Scott. You know
what I'm saying? No,
I haven't done. I haven't done anything
because,
yet.
Because I think you're very important in fantasy history. I really do.
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm trying to get there. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Stefania Bell was first, so.
So profile Stefania Bell then.
Oh, so much industry talk.
Yeah.
What class was she first?
Oh, then? What about Eric Berry? No?
Sure.
Yeah,
well, Michael Smith.
Oh, yeah. Eric Berry. That story is so underreported, Eric Berry. How come people?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people know about that.
He was really sick, Eric Berry.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's amazing how quick they turned that around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Top-notch doctors, whatever the case may be. So, Eric Berry,
What about Marcus Grant of NFL.com?
Why don't we just name random black people?
I'm not. Because he's not random.
Everyone we're naming is random. Jack Allen Iverson, Geno Smith.
Okay.
There's no connection to any of these people.
I feel bad that we got to get this done like so soon.
Brian, it's your own fault.
I guess, man, it is my fault, yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to make a point about African-Americans in the fantasy industry. Look, that's why I said Marcus Grant.
I know, and Marcus Grant, he's the editor, fantasy editor over there at NFL.com, yeah. And he does some work on their television programs, too. Him and, I think the gentleman's name is Corey, can't think of his last name, they work together to run fantasy for NFL.com. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Marcus Grant. And Eric Berry and everybody else. And Geno Smith and, you know, whoever else. So there you go, Greg. It's done.
You good?
Thank you.
All right. Let's get another name that player.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Chris, give me some music, please, sir. Mr. Bravona. And here we go. Everyone knows how it works. Tweet your answers at FNTSY Radio. Give us a call, 844-843-6879. If you know the answers before our professional analysts and experts. First time we've done that player quite a while here, Corey.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I've always done well in this.
It's been a minute. Oh, all right.
Am I the champion?
I believe you are. Here we go. I am currently 25 years old and was born in Venezuela. I made my MLB debut on April 6th, 2015. I was previously selected in the Rule 5 draft.
What about Herrera?
That is correct.
I was in the O when he was already at the end.
That is correct, yeah, by Tony Sincotta.
Rule 5 was the...
Rule 5 did it for me, yeah.
That was the key clue there. Now, I was kind of upset knowing that you mentioned Odubel Herrera in the first segment today. I cannot believe, because we haven't talked about Odubel Herrera at all. Now, here is a lot more clues, so let me give it to you. Double-digit steals in back-to-back years. Last year, he hit 15 home runs and 25 stolen bases. Strikes out over 20% every year, but his average has never been under 285. OBP last year is 361. His ADP is currently at 122. 28th outfielder off the board. Ninth round pick in our mock draft. What do you guys think of Odubel Herrera?
I think this guy's a pretty good value. I know there's some fantasy analysts that still don't believe in him. In 2015, he was a very pleasant surprise in the first half, fell off in the second half, but did it more over a full season last year. He does strike out a lot, but, like you said, he does keep the average up there. The average was there in the minors. You know, this is a guy, a lot of these Philadelphia players, like, tend to get picked later on because just the perception of the team is so bad. I don't think you can overlook this guy.
Nah, he can be a nice asset for fantasy teams. You know what I'm saying? The nice high batting average close to the 290s. Not to mention the fact that he's a possible 15-15 guy. You know, and he give you some run production too. The RBIs would be light, but Odubel Herrera is an asset for fantasy.
You say 15-15. He had 25 last year.
He had 25
steals.
Yeah, how many home runs he had?
15. But he'd be better than a 15-15.
They give you a 20-20 guy?
Yeah, they give you a 20-20 guy.
Do you got that kind of pop in his wood?
Yeah. I this is the part where I hate doing the shows and playing fantasy sports because I think he can hit 20 home runs. Mm. And 20-20 guy. Now, I think most fantasy experts would say if they had to choose, no, he won't hit 20 because his home run to fly ball ratio is kind of low for the 15 home runs. He's at 10%. But he's in a small ballpark. If you look at him, he's physically gotten bigger. I was looking at some old pictures of Odubel Herrera, and now, and him and Mikel Franco are two guys that just got bigger. I don't know what's going on out there, but they're getting a little older. I think he hits 20 home runs.
So then are you in on Odubel Herrera?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to. I wish we would stop talking.
Otherwise, he's going to go up the boards, yeah.
Let me, all right, so this is the guy I need to add to my keep my sleeper list right away now. He's a guy that I got to go draft. Okay, I'm going to do that right now.
Where is it? Did someone just mention his draft position?
I did. So in our draft, ooh, I wrote them in all caps. I don't want to do that. In our draft, he went in the ninth round. He is, his ADP and FBC is 122.
When was the last pick in that mock?
When was the last pick? Last night,
yeah.
I think. Just now. That is executive on the clock.
Yeah, I'm on the clock right now. I'm trying to find me another.
Yeah, I could see picking him in the 7th, 8th round. I think he could go up with 2 more rounds.
Okay. There you have it. Interesting. Odubel.
After all that talk
about leadoff?
Jason Hayward, I got him in the 22nd.
He's in third
last
this
night.
Year.
Hey, Odubel's in third this year. Is that going to bring his steals down?
I don't know if it'll bring his steals down, but it's going to bring up the RBIs, too.
Yeah.
I think that they'll continue. If you look at that team, I think they'll continue to run him.
Okay.
To get to, I think he might come up a little short of 20, but I think he gets right around there. But the RBI opportunities, and if you look at the runs scored in Major League Baseball, the top 10, 8 of them are 3 or 4 hitters. They're, you know, third or fourth in the lineup. So I think that's the conducive to having the best output there. And I actually like him batting third as opposed to first.
I think the ADPs are. The draft positions like are very depressed for the Phillies players presenting some values. Franco, I mentioned, although it could change, you know, he's going late. You got late guys like this and Tommy Joseph. You know, my slow draft, I got Vincent Velasquez as my fifth starter.
I like
Vinny
Velasquez.
And Jared Eichhoff still on the board.
Like Nola too.
Yeah, I like all the. I like all those pitches in Philly, except for the veterans, like Hellickson and Puckholz.
Yeah,
that no ballpark way. Is – Hellickson actually pitched decent last year.
He did.
That ballpark is terrible for pitchers. That's the only problem I have with those young pitchers.
Yeah, because Eichhoff let like 30 home runs up last year.
Yeah, that ballpark is tough, and that's why I think guys like Michael Saunders even could be underrated this season. He's actually been hitting fourth in spring training so far.
It's a cool place to go.
I like it.
It's a cool place to go watch the game, drink a couple beers, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Out there in Philadelphia on a nice day. Be careful, though, because the fans are a little bit, you know. The fans are not the brightest people, but nice ballpark.
If you go there wearing Mets or Yankees stuff, you're asking for trouble. Cardano said he went to a game with his sons wearing Mets stuff and was actually, like, afraid. When he was on the train.
Yeah, I wore Yankee stuff there before.
You did? No problem?
Yeah, whatever.
Every time I go, I go neutral or the one, like, a Phillies hat.
Like, if you wear Yankee stuff, Greg, they probably thought you were in a gang. Like, nobody's in a Mets gang.
That's a good point.
The Farmingdale 5. Mets game. Yeah. Because the Mets are not looked at as a tough team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a tough fan base.
Yeah, people wear Yankee hats, like, generally, like, don't watch baseball. They just wear the hat, you know?
That's general. Yeah. That's certainly a general statement.
Name that player, Greg.
Yes. I am currently 24 years old and was born in the Dominican Republic.
Frank Stanfield.
It is not Frank Stanfield.
Frank Stanfield was born in the Dominican Republic.
In my first full season in the majors, I hit 25 home runs with 88 ribbies. That first full season came last year, although I did not qualify as a rookie. Because the year before that, he played enough games. My average dropped from 280 in 2015 to 255 in 2016. My OBP also dropped from 343 in 2015 to 306 in 2016. My NFBC ADP is currently 127. I am the 14th third baseman off the board.
I think I know that. I can't think homeboy name though. Jose Ramirez?
It is not Jose Ramirez.
Oh, that's a good guess.
In the Roto Experts mock draft, I went two spots after Odubel Herrera.
Miguel Sano?
It is not Miguel Sano.
I got it up on my screen, so I got to look this way.
Adonis Garcia.
It is not Adonis Garcia.
Those are very good guesses, Scotty. I'm going to roll.
I'm going to read them.
I don't think Nick Castellanos is from Dominican Republic.
He's not.
No, he's from Mexico? No. Venezuela?
America, I think.
Oh, he's American cat. Yeah. Oh, Castellanos.
Hey. Eduardo Nunez.
He's not Eduardo Nunez.
Oh, that was a good one right there, Tony.
He's not 24, though.
24, born in the DR, hit 25 homers last year with 88 ribbies, but he only batted 255. After batting 280
in 2015. Oh, shit. You're with the same team. We just had Miguel Franco.
Correct.
I thought it was Miguel Franco. And you know what the funny thing about it was? I was saying to myself, he wouldn't do two
I
players
thought somebody
from the same
said
team.
Yeah.
Correct. Miguel Franco. That's right.
I'm thinking all
He's
over the place.
He's a little more clever than Florio.
I just knew
Florio's probably going to have that in his mic lying.
Like
this
I'm
week.
Going like I'm going all over the league, and I'm like, oh shit, this is the guy we just talked about.
Well, we didn't talk about Miguel Franco all that much, but yeah, we talked about the Phillies and Miguel Franco. A lot of power here. He's batting what? He said Saunders is batting fourth, Tony. So I mean, Franco's batting fifth.
Yeah, they're trying to go righty, lefty, righty.
Okay. Do we think the average comes back around this year, or what we saw last year was more indicative of what we're going to see?
I'll tell you what, this is another guy. Like, this Phillies team is going to be fun to watch for people. This guy reminds me of Manny Ramirez batting. I watched him yesterday in one of those games. I was like, man, this guy's attacking balls, but he's young. The batting average, that's the difference between him, though, and these elite hitters. I don't think he's going to get up to be a 280, 270 hitter. I think the power number is going to continue to go for this guy. I think he has a chance to hit 30 home runs. But he can get to 260, 270. That would be great for him. And I think on this Phillies team, it's a tough division because the Mets have good... The unbalanced schedule kills them. The Mets have good pitching. The Washington Nationals have good pitching. Or I'd pencil this guy in for 100 RBIs. I think you got to put him at 85, though, because of that division being so tough with the pitchers.
Like Miguel Franco, Corey?
Yeah, I'm in on the Franco kid. You know what I'm saying? Good pop, nice batting average, and the RBI production. He can play too, and he's only getting better. So, got him as a top 23rd baseman going into the season. So, and I kind of felt like you was talking about Miguel Franco, but I didn't think you would go back to back with the same team. Mm-hmm. Is he playing in the WBC?
Oh, do you? I don't know.
I'll look it up.
I don't know.
I wouldn't let him.
Third. He might not be good enough to make the team.
I'm about to say, is he good enough to make the
team? That's what I was thinking, honestly.
Jeez. They squad is stacked like that.
Because they had Adrian Beltre there before. That makes sense. So they were just going.
Oh, like, maybe he can be replaced with Adrian Beltre.
What's interesting, when you look at the advanced numbers, like the hard hit rate was up a little bit last year, so was the fly ball rate, but the home run to fly ball rate was down a little bit.
So you think even a little bit more power?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Would you take him before or after Odubel?
I would take him before. I want that kind of 30 home run pop.
Okay.
I would take him before because I know I'm going to get 25 home runs for him. So Herrera could come up short stolen bases. He could come short of home runs. But I'm getting the enticement with Herrera is I'm getting both, which I'm not going to get with Franco.
Yep.
But I just feel like predictability has to come in your mindset.
I agree.
Drafting.
I agree.
And I know I'm going to get 25 home runs from this guy.
Yeah, I would go with Franco first, earlier first. Also, like the guys mentioned, just that talent, that skill set, that pure pop. And I'm looking, he's not in the NFBC. They got a hell of a damn infield.
They don't have a third. They don't have a third baseman though.
They don't. Will they play Machado at third?
No. I don't. Yeah.
Maybe they play Machado.
That's gonna be it.
Can Carlos Santana play third?
No.
He has before.
He's not going to.
He has.
I don't think he
maybe
will.
Maybe Machado.
Maybe they put him on a team for Adrian Beltre.
Maybe.
Yeah. There you go. Right there.
More name that player on the other side of the break. But first, David Wright has shoulder soreness and is headed back to New York.
There you go.
Sorry, Scotty.
It's a wrap.
Sorry, Scotty.
Didn't even get started this year.
He has been diagnosed with an impingement. It sucks. More name that player on the other side of the break here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. King, exec, Tony, myself, name that player. Get some NBA talk coming up next half hour. Right with the show, talking about what we saw last night. Trying to make a lineup tonight. It's not easy out here, Tony. I've been trying to make it during breaks. Not easy out here tonight.
No. I was going over it this morning. And it doesn't seem like this. You know, we need those $3,000 guys.
They don't
like
exist.
Last night was a. Yeah, last night I actually used a little Snell at 3,000. And who is it? I used the center. I used Costas Kufis last night.
Mm.
That actually paid off for me for the first time.
Yeah, that was good.
Kufis. I've never had him work.
Yeah, me either. Let's talk more DFS coming up 9:45 a.m. Eastern Time, so I'll stick around for that. But let's get back into Name That Player now, shall we? And remember, everyone we're talking about, you can certainly read about inside the Exclusive Edge package available right now at rotoexperts.com. Use free radio when you check out, because you should not be drafting without the Exclusive Edge package, rotoexperts.com. It's $29.95, but we give it for you cheaper if you enter free radio when you check out. It gives you draft advice, but it also give you full season advantage over all of your competition. It's the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package. Fantasy baseball available right now at rotoexperts.com.
Hey, you seen the restaurant manager with the ball dome that was standing right there? The younger guy? You missed him. He's a, he live uptown. He live in my neighborhood.
Tony does?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, a real nice guy.
Yeah, he's mad cool. He live in my
really
neighborhood.
Really cool dude.
Yeah, I seen him a couple times over there.
That's cool. All right. Let's go back and name that player. Chris, give me the music, please, sir.
I'll share that with y'all. And Scott is feeling that you gave that David Bright news.
He ran to the bathroom.
And then Scott had to go cry right quick.
It's okay.
And now, but now he's back.
I respect it.
So you can tweet at you could tweet at Scotty Roto X for your sympathy for David Wright.
Sorry.
Still get the check.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry. I was reading Betsy DeVos information.
No,
pretty. You're going to get really angry when you see those. Meaning you, Corey. Here we go. Let's do it. I am currently 23 years old, and I was born in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
In my rookie season, I hit 18 home runs with a 385 OBP. Good news is, last season my home runs went up to 25.
How old is he?
23 years old. But the OBP dropped to 319. Yeah, my rookie season, my BABIP was 396. That's high, Corey.
Yeah, that means he was lucky.
For hitters with at least 450 at-bats, last season, I had the highest strikeout rate in all of baseball, striking out 36% of the time.
Trevor Story.
He is not Trevor Story.
I don't think he's Dominican.
He's not.
Miguel Sano?
It is Miguel Sano. That's correct.
He strikes out a lot, Miguel Sano.
That is correct,
Miguel Sano. Well, the most in baseball is a lot.
Yeah. 400 of the at-bats, most strikeout, highest strikeout percentage in baseball. ADP currently is 116. Seems high to me.
Oh yeah,
it's the talent, the skill set that people believe
people love
in.
Him.
Yeah.
Well, this is a dude, Tony. This last year we talked about it on the Roto Experts. I'm going like the second round.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because people thought he could hit 40 home runs.
Correct.
He probably still can, but he's just got to make a little more contact there. This is not a guy I'm going to take a chance on. If he would drop, though, like later in draft, he could be the modern-day version of Adam Dunn. That's the best. Like, that's the best you can hope for.
Listen, the dude don't walk and he strike out almost 40% of the time. They should cut him. Nah, he's got it. His plate discipline has got to improve. His plate discipline
he's a better,
has got to improve.
Is a more recent example, like Sano and Trumbo, right? Because Trumbo strikes out a billion times also, but Trumbo's 40 home run power. If Sano can get the more power and hit the 40 home runs that many people project, he's Mark Trumbo.
He's got to make some more consistent contact. And let's remember last year, too, that you know he was also adjusting, you know, with moving to the outfield, which
now he's back
in
third base.
Not the most comfortable thing. He could have gotten his head a little bit.
Remember, Trumbo's ballpark is a hell of a lot better than
and he has some decent batting averages, though.
You're right. It's a good point, too.
Yeah, Trumbo can hit 250, but, you know.
Our buddy George Kurtz took him in the 11th round in the current Roto Experts mock draft we're in.
Absolutely. Here we go.
I don't like him.
I hated that pick.
George Kurtz, very ornery man, Greg.
I am currently 26 years old. And I was born in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, this is the San Domingo edition.
Trying to do a little similarities here.
Yeah.
I made my MLB debut on April 30th, 2013. A little bit older player than the last couple we've had. Twice in my career, I have hit exactly 23 home runs. With one of those. Sorry?
Carlos Santana?
No, sir. With one of those times coming last year. Last year saw my career high in OBP, which was only 321. But it was also my lowest BABIP year of 296. My average was 266. Let me give you the numbers again. Average 266, OBP 321, BABIP 296.
Salvador Perez?
No, sir. Last season, I had my career low in ground ball percentage and career high in fly ball percentage.
Christian Yelich?
No, sir.
He's not Dominican.
He is not Dominican. While I don't run at all, zero steals in 2016.
Not Christian Yelich.
My other counting numbers were pretty good. 75 runs scored, 76 RBI. So the guy had 23 homers with 75 runs scored and 76 ribbies. My NFBC ADP is currently 181. I am currently the 38th outfielder off the board. And I was drafted in the 13th round.
Marcell Ozuna?
It is, in fact, Marcell Ozuna. Correct.
You did a good job with that, Scotty.
Something crazy happened in my mind where I don't know if you guys are going to believe this or not. For some reason, before we even started, the question Marcell Ozuna came into my mind on his lonesome. And just like everything you gave me, I said, maybe it's not him. And I said, no, I got to throw it out there.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, Marcell Ozuna. The only other clue I had here, besides the giveaway clue, was Roster Resource says I'm going to hit fifth this season behind one of the most prestigious power hitters in all of baseball. What do you guys think, Scotty, since you're the premonitionist over there? What do you think here?
I think he had a decent rebound season. When you're looking later for some pop, look, the guy's not going to help your batting average. He'll be 265 and 25 homers.
This guy just kind of nailed it. That's the player he is. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't walk. You know what I mean? But at least he doesn't strike out. He doesn't strike out terribly. He should be able to give you some help with the pop. He's also probably driving about 75 runs also, batting average in the 260s. He's a pure back of the baseball card guy.
He's just like 100 of those 111 guys with 20-plus home runs, right? He fits right in there somewhere with them. But nothing else, right? There's nothing else great here. No stolen bases.
Right.
Nope.
Played in Miami, he's not going to get a ton of RBIs or runs scored. The batting average is league average. It's just like I said, he's just one of those guys that's a drop-off. After him, you don't get 20 home run guys.
You're dealing with a shoulder, too.
He's just an hombre.
Dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury too, but I think he's going to start to see some action in the spring. Matter of fact, this upcoming weekend. So let me know how that goes.
You know, as Tony said, he's kind of He's fine. Right? Like, 25 home run guy is great. 75 ribbies, 75 run scores. I mean, that's good.
There's nothing exciting.
But nothing exciting. No. It's like, he's fine. He is a totally fine fourth outfielder for you.
Yeah, like, Justin.
You're totally fine with that.
You all right, Scott?
You're right?
Face turning red.
Yeah, you're okay?
I'm fine.
Oh, okay. You make sure that David Wright news ain't get to you that bad.
Here's what happens, though, Scott. If Scott isn't all right, I bet you two guys wouldn't give him, like, mouth-to-mouth. You would pretend you're Amish and just pray for him.
I would give him the Heimlich maneuver. Mm-hmm. I'd get behind him and, hopefully it would come up. If that didn't work and he saw it, like, turning blue and stuff like that, I was certified.
Red Cross?
CPR. Yeah. Red Cross certified.
You make a good point. It's like that Richard Pryor bit where, like, you walk by and, like, some guy's foaming in the mouth, like, you got too much of that stuff on your mouth. You ain't going to make it. Unless you can get somebody to clean that crap off your mouth.
I think you'd be in trouble, Scott, if you get sick with those two guys there.
No, I don't know. I haven't done it in a while.
Greg has struck me as like a really like kind of guy, like good friend who would look out for you no matter what.
Greg would call.
He might not know what to do, though.
Greg would call. I would begin Heimlich maneuver. If that didn't work, I would set up for CPR. Hopefully, they arrived before I had to go into CPR. But I remember how to do CPR. I had a homeboy one time keep a man alive, giving him CPR.
Really?
Uh huh.
Very cool.
Yep.
All right.
My homeboy used to play for the Jets, as a matter of fact.
Oh yeah.
He had a cup of coffee with the Jets.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. We'll take a break. When we come back, we go around the association, take a look at the NBA. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning next. We're back. David Wright News. Got to him.
Oh, yeah.
Joking about it, but it's just serious. David Wright, shoulder impingement. He's back, headed back to New York to get it looked at even further. Unlikely to start the regular season. As Corey said, it could be donezo.
I think he should retire.
I think so, too.
He was DH'ing so far in spring training.
It wasn't holding up, evidently.
There were no signs. But he's coming back from neck surgery and so many other things. You know, it's like it just seems like everything's breaking down. Now, from a fantasy perspective, you know, what do the Mets do? You know, Jose Reyes played a lot of third base last year, and he's still got a little speed. They also have Wilmer Flores, who's kind of erratic in the field, but if they can get his bat into the lineup, you know, that's something advantageous. That I don't think you want to look at Flores in an OBP league, but, you know, if he ends up playing a lot of third base, he could be a very late corner infield, you know, source of maybe 15 to 17 homers if he plays a lot. But I don't know if the Mets ideally want either of those options at third base.
Yeah. I'm always like a fan of dudes that's like with a team, like the star of a team through their lean years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a guy that, you know, he's the biggest name on the team.
Don Mattingly,
exactly. Mm-hmm. He's the biggest name on the team, but he never had a really chance to really advance deep into the postseason or win anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The majority of his career. So, I always am a fan of those stars that stick in there with losing franchises.
Yeah, I felt good for David Wright getting to that World Series a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I did too.
It wasn't like it was. I mean, he was like the captain, if you will, but like it wasn't his team anymore, right? It was all about like Harvey. It was about the pitchers.
Yeah, he was like the long tenured guy. Like
right
when they won the division in 2006, they were saying, okay, it's going to be
him and Reyes,
like forever. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting that they were almost back on the same ball club as like elder statesmen, but like you know. To Corey's point, like, you know, he signed a long-term deal to stay with them a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's he didn't want to play anywhere else.
Is Jose Reyes now going to be a starter at third base, Scott?
I think it's possible.
And does that make him fantasy relevant?
I think he was fantasy, at least NL only league relevant before this because, you know, he came with new gloves to, like, spring training because they were going to make him try the outfield for the first time since rookie ball. And you know, they might get his bat in there, like at third base and, you know, roving around in some outfield as a backup.
Well, now without David Wright, he could be the starting third baseman.
Yeah, you're looking at some speed there, you know, not anywhere near what he used to be, but, you know, maybe 15 to 20 steals if he plays a lot and, you know, a decent batting average. But Reyes in his prime, he's always a guy that didn't stay healthy. He was always hamstrings
that's true
or
too.
Something. Sure. So, you know, Wilmer Flores could end up, you know, being somebody very deep to look at, because the Mets were looking at this like, okay, if we get right back, you know, it's like, that's ideally what we want to have, even though we don't want to play him every day. If not, you know, we got Reyes, we have Flores, but look, it wouldn't shock me if they went outside the organization.
Might be that time.
Warriors and 76ers as we get into the NBA around the association. The Golden State Warriors defeat Philly last night 119-108, led by 27-8 from the Durantula. 16 points for Zaza Pachulia last night, 19 points for Steph Curry, who went 0-11 from behind the arc. He did not make a three-pointer.
That's the first time doing that.
Might be.
His brother hit 5 last night.
Wow.
Yeah, his brother had a better night than he did last night.
He lost in the brother situation last night.
Yes. 21 points for Klay Thompson, 14-11 for Draymond Green. 5 steals, 6 rebounds as well for Draymond Tone.
Yeah, I forgot to change my lineup this week in fantasy basketball, so I'm hoping I'm all right. Draymond Green had 5 steals, though. I mean, this guy does it all. That's the thing. He is a guy that's in the top of the league for assists, for non-point guards. He gets steals. I mean, the guy's amazing. Like, people talk about his most valuable players, and nobody would ever give this guy a vote. But you could make the argument he's the most valuable player on that team.
Last season, if it wasn't for the great season, you know, from Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook, I mean, he would have ran away with the MVP. He had a phenomenal season last year. Mm-hmm. But it was overlooked because of what Curry and Westbrook and those guys were doing.
Harden too, yeah.
So they were in Harden too. They were all in Philly last night. That means they should be in New York soon, right?
I just got a very interesting NBA-related text about my DeMar DeRozan interview. A friend of the program told me that they saw me on SportsCenter interviewing DeRozan.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. The king on SportsCenter.
Yeah, with the FNTSY mic flag.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Great.
Nice job.
Good job, Scott.
Shout out to Scott Angle, the king, making it on SportsCenter this morning.
Where did you get SportsCenter over the bar,
yeah,
Scott?
Everybody, yeah, everybody. And you make sure you let all them people at ESPN, Carabelle and them dudes know, I'm back, baby. Sons of guns.
You didn't want me. I slipped back into SportsCenter. Yeah.
Somewhere Matthew Berry is watching SportsCenter like, there goes Scott Angle.
He's the king.
There you go.
Dario Saric at 21-7-7. Robert Covington, 15-8 with 4 steals. Gerald Henderson at 16. And then Jahlil Okafor was brutal. He had 4-3 with 7 turnovers in 17 minutes, while Rashawn Holmes played 28 minutes, and he had 15 points. Off the bench, Nick Stauskas, Sergio Rodriguez each had 10 points. Tony?
I like Holmes a lot. I think he's playing very well, and I think that with the Embiid situation, he's a guy he could actually use in daily fantasy going forward with his salary still at $3,000. He's going to take more and more time from Okafor.
The Rockets fell to Indiana last night, 117-108, despite 28 points in 28 minutes off the bench for Lou Williams. And it certainly seems like, Tony, Eric Gordon getting killed by this trade for Lou Williams. He only had 9 points last night in 26 minutes. James Harden puts up 25-12 with 7 assists, only 2 turnovers. So a good night holding on to the basketball from Harden, but he couldn't shoot, just 1 of 9 from 3-point range for Harden.
Yeah, so I watched this game, and I thought that Houston was going to blow him out early in the game. It looked like they were going to be all over him. Lou Williams, he's special, a player. I mean, he is playing really lights out. But the Eric Gordon thing, he was on the court, Gordon. I think the guy that could end up losing out is Trevor Ariza. I think they leave him out there for defense right now, but I could see this team going
Yeah, because you get to the point where D'Antoni doesn't give a shit about defense, so let's pull Ariza.
Right. I think Ariza in the long run might be the guy in trouble.
For the Pacers, you get 25-8-6 from Jeff Teague, 17-6 from Rodney Stuckey. Monta Ellis at 12-8 off the bench, 12-8-7 off the bench. Really good night for Monta Ellis. He's been better as of late, guys.
Yeah, and Jeff Teague starting to pick it up again, too.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Paul George is not. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, which is good. Thaddeus Young, I think he's droppable in seasonal leagues, by the way.
Thad Young.
Yeah. I'm done with Thad Young.
Rad Thad Young.
The Celtics fell to Atlanta 114-98. All 5 Hawks starters were in double digits, including Dennis Schroeder, back in the starting lineup in 30 minutes of action. 21 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. Dwight Howard, who Tony loved last night, 17-12. Paul Millsap put up 17-10.
I think he got ejected, too.
Yeah, he did. Howard. Yeah, he had 2 technicals, 1-1 for hanging on the rim.
That was nice.
Yeah, He got hard on the rim, and the Celtics started squawking, and he got off his game. Like, he was on a roll. He could have been a monster game, and he's ended up being Dwight Howard. That's the problem with this guy.
It's this guy right here. Oh, 7 foot. Never mind.
For the Celtics, only starter in double digits was Isaiah Thomas, who had 19-7-7. Archie Bradley back. 15 minutes of action. He had 6 points and 3 assists. That's it. Very quiet night for Archie Bradley. I keep saying Archie Bradley. Avery Bradley.
Who the hell is Archie Bradley?
He's a pitcher for the Diamondbacks.
Avery Bradley.
But they're not related.
Yeah. They are not related, no. 16 off the bench for Marcus Smart. 15 off the bench for Jaylen Brown. Minnesota defeated Sacramento last night, 102-88. The T-Wolves got 29-17 from Karl Anthony Towns. He also had 3 blocks. 27 for Andrew Wiggins. And then, yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah. Crazy part is Bellagelica, 35 minutes in this game.
Yep.
Watch and see how this plays out, because if he gets this opportunity, if he gets playing time, he's definitely fantasy worthy.
I agree.
Double in this game, mm-hmm. He could play.
I agree. Belica definitely could be, if he gets the playing time, he could be somebody to watch. However, a lot of that playing time, from what I read, Tony, I didn't see any of the game, came in that second half when it was, you know, kind of all done already.
Yeah, I didn't see the game either, but the game was done pretty early in this one. But Sacramento also gives you an opportunity. Tyreke Evans didn't score until the fourth quarter. He had 3 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And he had 1 assist, I think 1 rebound. And they let him play in garbage time, which was the crazy. Why would you have an injured player playing in garbage time?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Buddy Hield finished with 8 points. He was 1 of 5 from behind the arc. Still not starting are Hield and Evans. But Willie Cauley-Stein entered the starting lineup last night. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists for Cauley-Stein. Darren Collison had 10. Lawson had 11. Ben McLemore had 14. And Costa, as Tony said, put up 14 and 11.
Yeah, that was a game where you look at Karl Anthony Towns, puts up big numbers, but he's not a big defensive player. So sometimes you can get away with taking a shot with a cheap center there against Karl Anthony Towns. He puts up the big numbers. Everybody gets excited about it, but he lets up a lot of points as well.
Cavs defeated the Bucks last night, 102-95. Not a good night if you had Giannis Antetokounmpo. 9 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. That's not going to get the job done, given his price in the industry. Michael Beasley only had 11. Only played 9 minutes last night. What happened there?
He got hurt. I think it's bad, too.
Really?
They said a dislocated knee, but he had problems with walking.
Mm. Oh, that's not good. I didn't realize that. Thon Maker only had 9 minutes. Toledovich only had 9 minutes. People liked Greg Monroe a lot last night. He only had 19 minutes.
Oh, my God. He had 15 points. This coach, Jason Kidd, I don't know if he's on drugs or what. He lit it up in the first quarter and never got back on the court.
Crazy. Malcolm Brogdon put up 20 last night. That's good.
His value goes up now. Yeah.
His value probably go up, right? Because Beasley's always Toledovich is actually as well, you'd think. But who knows? His Bucks team's falling apart due to injuries. For the Cavs, you got 24-10 with 6 assists from LeBron, 25-9 for Kyrie, 14-7 in Darren Williams' debut with 27. Sorry, Derek Williams had it. Darren Williams didn't play last night.
Derek Williams
went up 14-7.
He was really good.
He outplayed Channing Frye in a major way last night.
Yeah, he was all over the place. People forget this was the second pick in the draft.
Yeah, oh yeah, out of Arizona. Sure.
It is a disappointment. But he can play a little. This Cleveland team is going. They bring Deron Williams in now, the point guard. They're pretty deep.
Yep. The Heat last night fell to Dallas 96-89. 24-6-5 from Goran Dragic. 19-19 for Hassan Whiteside. Dion Waiters chipped in 12-6. For Dallas, they were led by Seth Curry. Tony and Scotty said it a moment ago. 5 of 7 from behind the arc for 29 points. Hattie Bones had 24-4. Only 2 Mavericks in double digits in the win. Yes.
What happened to Dwayne Wade?
He didn't play last night.
Oh. You use him for Black History Month.
He doesn't play. He doesn't play on the Heat anymore. He plays with the Bulls.
I'm tripping.
And with that,
he's in Chicago right now.
And with that, we should go to a break.
We could use him for Black History Month, though.
The DeRozan footage, I found it on the ESPN site and just tweeted it out. It's me interviewing DeRozan, and when Kyle Lowry jumps in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me see this. You just tweeted it out.
FNCSY mic flag.
All right. We'll watch it during the break, Scotty. Yeah. That's why you weren't engaged. You were looking for yourself on...
Scott Engel's a me guy, if there ever was one.
Oh, yeah.
There he is. There's the king. There he is.
Let me see this.
I'm gonna retweet this guy. You're my friend. I'll retweet it.
Oh, look at your head.
You look good.
Yeah, look at you.
Because you had a nice sweater on yesterday.
Your head is big, but, you know.
A lot of information in it, yes.
Scotty at the head of the scrum, and there's Kyle Lowry wearing an Augusta hat.
Yeah, what's up with that?
He can't be allowed to play at Augusta, right?
That's not nice, Greg. It is February.
Fuck, one more day. We're wrapping up the show coming up next. Final couple moments here on the Roto Experts in the morning. A little DFS talk. Remember, coming up next is the old school fantasy hour with Scott Angle, George Kurtz, and Corey Parson. Come your way next, Roto Experts in the morning. DFS tonight, I was looking at it, as I said, throughout the show. It is not easy out here tonight.
No, we got to definitely, there's not enough cheap players out there if you want to get some of these bigger, expensive guys out there. Tonight, the point guard position, I'm the one guy you look at, and he's a little more expensive, and I don't know if he's going to get the start, but if Michael Carter-Williams starts, he would be a cheap point guard option for you. I think the best play on the board would probably Kemba Walker with a team total of 109. Tonight's game is $8,300 and $8,200 salary, respectively. I do not think tonight's a night to play Russell Westbrook, as they're going to be in a game with the slowest pace. They have a team total of only 102. And another cheap guy you could go ahead, the point guard, is George Hill at $6,400 tonight and $6,000 on FanDuel.
Only other point guard I like that Tony has not mentioned, Mike Conley against Phoenix.
Yep.
He's not cheap, but I like Conley as well. At the shooting guard position, I'm going with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope because he's a manageable $5,400 against Portland. And then right now I have Bradley Beal against Golden State, which should be a fast-paced game.
It will be a fast-paced game, and I'll be a high total. So I like KCP. I would actually Bradley Beal's never going to be a bad play, not a great matchup, but I like Klay Thompson as well.
Okay.
You know, same game there, and depending on which one gets off, could go either way there.
Sure. At the small forward position, this is where I really spent up. I have Kevin Durant.
Jimmy Butler.
I'm sorry?
I think Jimmy Butler's the best play on the whole day.
Better than Durant?
I think he is.
So one of the reasons I like Durant was because he's home in Washington. I use that like, oh, he's in front of his home. His friends.
That's interesting. I did not consider that. Now, do you think that maybe that's going to put more pressure on him because he
could
get tickets for all these people?
It definitely could, but I feel like, you know, they'll make sure he gets the ball, and I don't know. That's why I put Durant in there. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler, the matchup against Denver is fantastic.
Yeah, Denver not good defensively. And Butler and Durant are very similar in price tonight on DraftKings, $9,700, $9,300. So you know you're getting a significant discount. But on FanDuel, you save $1,100 with Butler.
Crap, it's a ton of money. The other small forward I have over on FanDuel, because I can't fit Jimmy Butler in there right now as it is, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist against the Lakers, which is obviously not a bad play.
Yes, a very good play. And Kidd-Gilchrist is one of these guys that's hit or miss. You never know what you're going to get there. The other guy I like is actually the Lakers. Brandon Ingram, $4,200, $4,000. He's a guy they've given every opportunity to as they try to ride out the season and see what they got. He has 23 fantasy points and 24 fantasy points in the last two games.
Absolutely, and even more important than that, 39 minutes two games ago, 35 minutes in that last game against San Antonio. At the power forward position, this is where I'm really trying to go cheap. Frank Kaminsky qualifies as a power forward on FanDuel, so I have him in there against the Lakers. And I also, this is where I look to Chicago here, Tony. Nikola Mirotic, I know everyone thought Bobby Portis was going to break out after the Taj Gibson trade, but it's been Mirotic getting more minutes. We saw 37 minutes against Phoenix, and then last game against Cleveland, he saw 29 minutes, putting up about 30 DFS points on FanDuel over the last couple games, and he's very cheap.
I think this is interesting because he played so poor at the beginning of the year. I was surprised that he didn't get more of an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I like him in this. I was afraid to go with him two nights ago, but he's playing well. He is the guy there. Bobby Portis broke it down this morning. He's hard and cold. He's just not the same player he was last year. I like the Mariners call.
All right. And then at the center position, I really like Gasol. There's no way I could fit him, so I went super cheap. I love the guy. I hate the matchup. Right now I have Alex Len in there just because he's been starting, Phoenix benching everybody. I don't know what to do at center.
The setup position, I agree with you on Gasol's the safest play tonight. And I think his price is actually nice at $7,600
yeah.
on DraftKings, $8,200 on FanDuel. If you want to save a little money, Marcin Gortat in that game against Zaza Pachulia, he should be able to put up points, $6,500 on FanDuel, $6,100 there. They're ninth best at covering centers in the NBA. So if you had to go real cheap, you went Alex Len. I think that's the really only
cheap
option. Robin Lopez has a decent matchup, too. In that game, he's $4,800 on FanDuel, $4,400 on DraftKings. They're middle of the league at defending against centers. Nikolai Jokic, as much as we talk about him, he's a guy that's not there. But in two out of the last three games, Lopez had 28 points against Phoenix, 30 fantasy points against the Celtics. There in Cleveland, he only had 13, but I like him tonight too as well.
There you go. That's going to do it for us. Here are the Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, the old school fantasy hour, Corey Parson, George Kurtz, and the King, Scott Angle, the ESPN King, Scott Angle. For the King, for Corey, for Tony, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday, and we will see you right back here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. Goodbye, everybody.